Happens Audio.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, but real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
And we're rolling. What's up, dude?
Oh, man. Hey, take two, huh?
Yeah.
we recorded an episode last week, and it was such a bummer that we didn't even release it.
I don't think we've ever done that before, but, you know, you gotta have quality control at some point.
Even we have some quality control. So, you know, if it was bad.
And I never could put my finger on it. I listened back to it halfway through, and I just texted you, and I was like, this one kind of sucks. But, you know, I think that's part of being an entertainer, is knowing your own strengths and weaknesses and being able to identify your flaws. And I didn't want to put out subpar content, Kyle, because this is the Boogie Monster, and our standards
people have come
are
to
pretty
expect
high.
A level of quality from us. Mm-hmm. And that level is very low. So if we can't reach that, then boy. Yeah, we were both just in lousy. I was in a special lousy mood. You weren't in a great mood. And it wasn't even like we were complaining and it was entertaining. We were just annoyed because we're human beings mm-hmm. with actual feelings. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, was bummed out about everything, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's easy to do these days.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, there's a lot to be bummed out about, but smiley faces today. I'm in a better mood today.
Me too, man.
I feel pretty good.
Let's get, I got three different drinks here. I just tried to make Rachel chug from the space bag out of the box of wine. It didn't work. She coughed. It went all over my face. It was, you know, there's only a little. Anytime, if you're drinking box wine, please tell me you're not just getting the last bit out with a little nozzle and then throwing it away. There's a whole other glass in there. There's a whole other glass
would
in
you
that
believe,
bag.
I've never had box wine. I don't know if that's what that says about me.
Well, I mean, you don't strike me as a guy. I'm not surprised. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you drink a lot of wine, do you?
No. I drink wine every now and then. I cook with it some. So whenever I'm making marinara sauce or there's a couple other things I use red wine for, I will always finish the bottle. Whatever I didn't cook with, I'll chug. But
so
short of that,
after a splash of red wine, you're just housing a whole bottle of Merlot.
Yeah.
I don't drink wine except for when I chug it a bottle at a time because I wanted some spaghetti. Other than that, though, I'm not really discerning. Not a sommelier.
No. Mm-mm. Oh, man.
But Dave Stone sommelier. Well, since you're wearing a dark shirt, I'd recommend a red.
I'm getting notes of grape. Yeah, this one's got grapes in it.
I'm getting notes of pastrami. Never mind. That's just what I had for lunch. It's just coming back around on me.
Oh, man. What are you doing? You still in L.A.?
We're here. We're packing. I'm moving and shaking on the old OfferUp app, trying to sell stuff. You ever mess around with that app?
No, I probably need to because Katie's been redecorating and reorganizing, and we got a bunch of furniture that she just put out on the curb and just to see if anybody would take it for free. And there's still a couple of pieces that nobody bid on. So, I don't know.
They got a bid on stuff if it's on the curb? What are you, auctioneering from the stoop? What are you doing? We got zero over here. We got zero over here. I'm over here. We got nothing. We got nothing over here. I got nothing. I'll see you nothing. I'll raise you nothing on top of that. It's garbage, everybody.
This is literal trash.
I've been doing OfferUp because I had some, like, guitars and bike parts and stuff. And I love being an asshole on that thing. I don't know what that says about me. First off, I don't think I'm being an asshole. I'm selling a guitar. The price is listed as a firm price. firm, meaning that's how much I'm selling it for. So that's it. And then people, you know, you got it. Yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So people are like, oh, hey, would you take this much for it? I'm like, no, because that's why it says firm. But if they're like asking in a full sentence, all right, sure. I get one dude who's just like, $400 on Thursday. No hello. No, is it still for sale? Just $400 on Thursday. And I was like, or $450, whichever day you want, because that's the price I'm asking for it. The guy's like, $420 on Thursday. I'm like, all right, now it's $500. How you want to play this game, man?
I
let a bunch of bike stuff go for cheap, and it's like, hey, people are going to ride bikes. That's cool. And then the nice dude that bought the guitar today, it was a nice enough punk rock dude had a crass face mask on. I thought was cool. But yeah, if anybody being rude or anything, I'm like, well, you're the one coming to me. You want it. All right. I'll see you later. But yeah, so moving units, baby.
I got to get on that app. About 2 years ago, I sold some stuff on Craigslist, and I was selling a blender. I had one of these real high power blenders that documentary gave me that never saw the light of day.
Something?
Yeah. What was it called? What's the name of that blender? Not a Vitamix.
Wasn't it the name of the company that was doing the documentary too?
Yeah, they were kind of sponsoring it. Oh, okay. So I got a couple of these really high powered blenders, and I put them on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about OfferUp, but on Craigslist it says where the sale is originating from. At the time, I was living in Glendale.
Yeah.
So it says, you know, Glendale, California. And then it's got the picture of the blender, blah, blah. I had a lady call me and ask if I would deliver it to her to San Diego. 2.5 hours away for, I think I was asking like $70 for this blender. And she was dead serious. She was just like, do you deliver? And I was like, maybe. I was like, where do you live? San Diego. I was like, you're clear it says Glendale. That's where I'm at.
Maybe they meant ship it.
No, she meant deliver. Like, she wanted me to drive down, like, drive it to her and say, sure, lady. Yeah, I'll drive 2.5 hours to net $70.
I think Craigslist, you get way more crazies on there. Shit, yeah, man. Evidently. Even that stuff you're trying to get rid of, if you put it up on Craigslist free, somebody will take it no matter what it is. Or they'll claim they will. You will find out who's a hoarder. You could have a Toyota Corolla and be like $10. People are like, ah, how about $7? But you could have just one sock. It's free. I'll pick it up in 10 minutes.
So, oh man.
But yeah, I've been moving some units on this thing. I had a couple Boogie Monster related items to discuss, Dave.
Oh, yeah?
One.
What do you got?
Well, one, my landlord told me a pretty creepy story the other day about how he had, he very unfortunately just lost his son a couple months ago. I think it was diabetes. And he was talking to me the other day. He's like, I don't know what you feel about that. He was over here. Wasn't just having a regular seance with my landlord or anything. He's like, I don't know what you think about the afterlife or anything, but he said that his nephew was working at a store. He's talking about how he had bad luck. He lost his office, and his son lost his house in the fires a couple years ago out in the north of LA. And his wife fell and like hit her head and was or broke her spine or cracked her skull or something bad. Was in the hospital for a while. He's had a bad luck. And then his son passed away. And he said that some lady came in to his nephew has a store in a mall out like in the north of LA area. So this woman came in. She's like, I know this sounds strange. I'm compelled to be in here. She's like, does this name mean anything to you? And said the name of my landlord's son.
Really?
Yeah. So the guy's, it would have been his cousin. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it does. He's like, okay. And then his other name, does this name mean anything to you? And it was my landlord's son's dog's name. She's like, yeah, that the man's name, the man is telling me that he's like sad that he doesn't know where the dog is because the guy died and the dog is with my landlord and his wife. And I'm like, oh, so was she following up? Like, he's like, nope, didn't get her name. She just left and said, I was compelled to come here and tell you this stuff. And he's like, so I don't know what's going on. So like, I don't know if this lady's bullshitting my landlord's nephew, if my landlord's nephew's bullshitting my landlord, or if my landlord's bullshitting me. But that's a pretty crazy story, for especially to just come in and be like, I don't, I'm just drawn to here. Do you know these names? And this is the situation. And then left.
Wow.
So I hate to err on the side of like skepticism with everything all the time, but that one, especially not like, not saying like, oh yeah, I do readings or I do this. It's just, she was mentioned that she was like a medium and mentioned these things and then left. Didn't leave a name, didn't nothing.
Hmm.
So kind of a wild, kind of a weird thing to do if you are scamming somebody, to not scam and just mention these things.
Yeah. Yeah, like what's her incentive to bullshit?
Yeah, well,
that?
Yeah, what's her take? Then if it's none, that's so that was a wild one. My landlord's not necessarily, you know, a guy that I would think is like that. So that's a story of boogie monster related materials. And then I was gonna tell you, Dave, I think I texted you last night about that documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma.
Oh, right. Yeah, you were telling me about that. I've yet to see it.
Buddy, I think I would almost go to the point of saying it's required viewing for everyone right now. Yeah, for it's
okay.
Just it's about how all the social media is designed to manipulate you to look at it more. Not necessarily to steer you one way or another, but it is that too, but just about how it's designed to commodify your thought space. And like the one woman, and these are people that help design social media that are in it. It's not critics. It's like people that were in it and were like noticing the ethical dilemmas within it and then left it to try and counteract the ethical dilemmas. I'm just saying how there's like, yeah, like how there's stock, like human thought space is a commodity to advertisers. How can they stay on your mind? How can, you know, like we both know, like I've never had notifications turned on my phone for anything. Mm-hmm. And we're all just kind of accepting the fact that like, you know, we're just talking about moving because we're moving. All of a sudden my Instagram feed is for movers.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say shit on Instagram, but just around my phone. And and we're all just like okay with that now. Oh, yeah. They're listening.
That's creepy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is about how, yeah, like it's just design and how it can be, how it's so much harder to contain any kind of false information or fake news. Because once it gets going, it's like they created algorithms, they created these things, and then the machine just does its own thing. Oh, you clicked on this video? You might like this. You might like, and all these suggest, and the easiest guy to make fun of in it, it looks like this. It's this kind of, you know, bedraggled white dude with dreadlocks that kind of looks like Snuffleupagus. And he's the most interesting guy talking about the ethics of it. And just like, and you're like, yeah, don't click on any video recommended. Don't click on that. That's feeding what's terrible. Don't click on clickbait because then you've incentivized people, like you've shown that this model will get people money. It's a bummer. I'll say that. It is a bummer. I think, I don't know if I could delete my Facebook and just keep my comedy page up, but I'm probably going to do that. I have my own shit with Twitter. Everybody's just a fucking bitchy scumbag on that thing. But
I wonder, did it say anything? Like, I wonder, okay, so like, MySpace was kind of the first big one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was something before MySpace, but I can't remember what it was.
Friendster.
But I wonder, like, what the motivation behind MySpace and Facebook, other than, I mean, I'm assuming money, sponsorship, ads, pop-ups and stuff. But, like, I wonder if you could get one of those guys to admit, like, what their real incentive was to create these things.
No, that was the whole. That's what this whole thing is about. Is how it's ad money. Uh-huh. It's all ad money.
Okay.
And how how advertisers can't. It's not just a billboard anymore. It's how they can psychologically keep you addicted to these apps. Keep you checking them. Keep every time you refresh it, there's something new So that keeps you refreshing and looking at it. It's not like you look at it and you're like, well, I've seen it all. Because if you put it down for 10 minutes and pick it up, you'll get more stuff. It's about how it's all designed to make sure you are occupied with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then advertisers are funding all that.
Okay.
You know, and they're saying, like, yeah, we didn't know. He's like, I thought this was going to be a community and it was going to bring people together. And boy, look at this, how it can be a utopia and a dystopia at the same time, because it's, you can send information around the world, except now here we are with like teen suicide and depression rates are skyrocketing because of, you know, the people want to get plastic surgery so they can look like Snapchat filters and all this stuff. It's like, and these guys talk, it's like, yeah, we didn't know this. And then the dreadlock guy, I think it was him saying, he's like, ask how many people in tech development, if they let their children use the things that they're developing. And you'll find out they do not. And at the end, there are all these people that are confessing that they worked on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest. They're like, yeah, nope, my kids, I have limited screen time. I do not allow them social media until they're 16 years old. It's like, ooh, man, it is. I would say it's imperative to watch.
Okay.
Especially now.
That's on
it's on Netflix. Yeah, and just talking about how we've now, like, it's created this divide of, and I'm guilty of that too. Like, people, and we talk about, like, people that, like, their political affiliations. Now you've decided, like, you used to just be like, all right, you voted for somebody I didn't vote for, but I'm still friends with you. Now, now that's defining that individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd say it's a very important watch. I will say that.
Okay.
Not just good, not just like important. So.
Well, right on, man.
If you watch it by next week, we can get into it.
Yeah, I'll check that one out for sure, dude. It is fascinating. Like, how social media has, I get what you're saying with the whole purpose is, you know, advertising dollars, but also like the sociological component to it on how it's just changed the way we interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, the dopamine rush of seeing those likes and all that, but just, you know, the anonymity of the internet, people being able to, you know, say whatever the hell they want with no repercussion. And just like with Instagram, I've heard people talk about this, about, you know, people presenting an image of themselves that is obviously fabricated. You know, my life's not nearly as exciting as my Instagram page might lead you to believe. And just how it really, I'm interested to see some studies on how it's just changed the way people interact and the way people think. Because, I don't know, it's hard to imagine, like, the world before that. I mean, obviously, we can remember that, but just, I would love to see some sort of study on just how communication has changed in the last 20 years.
Watch this movie, man. Well, yeah, Instagram is like a job interview, but for your personality. Like, your job interview, you always kind of lie and you know, smudge the numbers a little bit and make it all look like, you know, rephrase things to be like, you know, kitchen technician. No, I was a fry cook, but I'm going to say kitchen technician on the res, you know. And that's what people do with all the filters and how cropped it is. And then just environmentally, how they're saying, like, there's places like, please do not geotag us on Instagram, because now it's not people that are hiking and nature lovers and are respecting the place. It's people that want the picture and go there and trash a location. I follow, what's the InstaRect is an account that I follow. It's an Instagram account, but it'll show you like the picture that somebody got, like standing on the sitting on the edge of a cliff overlooking the Grand Canyon, and then it'll zoom out and show the 150 other people in line waiting to get that same picture, like 6 feet away from the person. And it's please stop tagging us in these things. You're ruining it, because people are coming here just for a picture and leaving, and just leaving trash. And that's part of this movie, is them talking about, like, what's the worst outcome? And they're like, civil war, you know, it's the end. We'll lessen our sensitivity. We'll be more outraged and less sensitive to our neighbors because of what happens on the internet. And we'll react accordingly instead of, you know, being human beings and together on Earth. Like, oh, that's why I was texting him. Like, all right, man, come down to Long Beach, buy some guns.
Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, dude.
Well, yeah, why the sudden urge?
Well, I was looking before when everything was going down. As part of the, you know, when you realize that the whole Second Amendment, Second Amendment, people are about like, well, what if a tyrannical government happens? And then it's happening.
Yeah, what if?
And they're on the side of the tyrannical government. I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm in. Well, yeah, I might. I probably won't be as well versed with the weapon as, you know, fucking Jim Bob up in the hills there. But I get a few rounds off before I get taken out in the new Civil War.
You looking for a handgun, long gun? What are you thinking?
Don't just say I'm looking, man.
Okay.
Just saying, hey, man.
Right on, dude.
Well, man, what do you? You don't pick a pot or a pan, do you?
Good point. You got to have a whole arsenal.
You need both. You need both to get some of the jobs done.
Yeah. All right.
I was looking at
and then, tire kicking.
Yeah, I might do that. So maybe if you got a spot down in Long Beach you like, maybe I'll see you down there. We'll schedule a date.
I mean, dude, I'm still, it's always in the back of my mind in the last 6 months, just how bad's it gonna get, and at what point do we pack up and head for the hills?
Well, it's, you know, and to address that bitch fest I had about, well, last week that we didn't even use the episode, was somebody calling me out on Twitter like, oh, hell, you'd say you checked out and you're all Marxist but neoliberal, like all his terms that I had to look up, and then saying like, oh, you say you checked out. Yeah, I fucking checked out. I'm gonna vote. What do you want? I'm going to vote. I'm going to donate. I'm going to sign the petitions. But I can't week in, week out, sit here and just complain about it. I'm already, it's already bad out there, man. The state I'm left to pack up from is on fire. This state's on fire. LA's rat fucked out there. I just drove around today, and I know it's always been bad, but I haven't been gone for a few months. I'm like, oh, yeah, this looks like a third world country.
Really?
And I don't know what to do about it. Yeah. It's just disaster. It looks like you don't need a riot to turn Hollywood into an absolute shithole. Like, it's just that way. It's bad. The homeless people, there's not affordable housing for them. And, you know, outside of dropping everything and becoming a full-time political activist, what do you fucking want out of me? I got it. I'm trying to still be fun and make jokes. And I don't do that real well when I'm bummed out about every aspect of the human existence right now.
Yeah.
You know, everything's on fire. Can't ride my bikes. It's all smoky. I've been living out of boxes and duffel bags all summer. So forgive me if I want to take a little break and not be impassionedly bitching about everything.
So yeah, I get it, man. I mean, the irony is I was checked out for years until recently, just because, I don't know, it just, there's a sense of helplessness to watching the news and being like, well, what the hell can I do? I mean, yeah, I can vote. I could, yeah, I guess I could volunteer. You know, none of the candidates make me want to volunteer politically. You know, I have no interest in campaigning for Biden.
Which decrepit pervert are you choosing this November? Because that's what your choices are. I think one is far less destructive to the United States than the other. But they are both decrepit perverts. And then that's where we've gotten to as a choice.
It's fucking bleak. And then every day there's a new story with Captain Dipshit there.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know we've talked about that. You know, I don't have the time or energy to address every faux pas, every horrible thing that comes out of the news with him. But every day it's something like, holy shit. I mean, this week, oh yeah, he knew that COVID was dangerous back in February, and still held rallies and still made fun of people for wearing masks and socially distancing. I mean, just every day it's something new.
Well, that's the thing, though. But it's not new. It's expected. But it's like, all right, yeah, of course I'm against all that. But it's when you're not woke enough for the side that you're trying to champion. Like, I'm not woke enough for you. Oh, good job, motherfucker. You just made a centrist. Way to go. Good job.
Yeah.
I there's some stuff like I can't. Do it, man. Somebody's wanted me to do a fundraiser, and this is not naysaying this, but it's like it's a fundraiser for somebody that was going to like run to be a coroner in a small town, and they were going to be the first trans coroner. And I'm like, hey, thumbs up. Best of luck to you. There's a literal pile of homeless people sleeping under the bridge a quarter mile from my house. I'm concerned about that right now. I'm not going to throw my efforts behind a fundraiser for the first trans coroner in a rural town. I wish you the best of luck. I do understand that that's monumental for trans rights and that, but that is so far low on the list of shit to try and change right now. I'm sorry.
I never understood how coroner is an elected position anyway. Like, if elected, I will embalm these bodies better than my competitor.
Yeah.
It just seems like an odd publicly elected position.
It sure does. Yeah. Like, what? And it's like, then there's a campaign budget. Like, they got to prove why they're a better choice.
And I'm sure I got that wrong. I'm sure, you know, there's more to that gig. And I know that there is in terms of, like, doing autopsies and determining cause of death and things of that nature, but it just still seems like an odd thing that we vote on.
That's okay. That's an exploration. That's a boogie monster topic to explore, because it's not even like mortician. Mm-hmm. It's not even like, oh, people are going to die, and that's a business that's not going away. So I'm a mortician. It's a coroner. I guess you have to have, you know, like, you're a part of the police department. Like I said, there's much larger things to get behind right now that, like, all right, I got other shit that's pressing. Best of luck. I wish you the best of luck with it. I'm rooting for you, but this isn't, that's not the thing I'm going to get loud about right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I get it.
Anyway, like I told the person on Twitter, that was a shame that I'm sorry my joke podcast about werewolves let you down.
Yeah, we'll do better.
Who's looking at us for strong political opinions?
I got called a liberal cuckold this week because I diss Trump too much. I love that move. I love the masculine tough guys that, you know, yeah, heaven forbid. I speak out against literally the worst president this country's ever seen, or heaven forbid we raise our voice and agree that marginalized people should have equality. But you're a liberal cuck. Yes, I want other men to fuck my wife because I want equality for marginalized people. You are correct, sir.
I just
I just love good. That, you pussy.
Yeah, they're not good at insults. Ugh. I'll say that.
Oh God.
They're Jesus. bad at insults. They're bad at comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what are you gonna do?
I'm surprised. Like, that guy really went out of his way to find your website.
yeah. Send me a nice email. Oh, and he prefaced it, but don't take this the wrong way. And I think my response was, don't take this the wrong way, but fuck all the way off. what happened to your balls? What happened to van living, machete wielding Dave? Yeah, I'm a real softy now that I live indoors, and I got this. I'm real unique in my viewpoints that Trump's a fucking retard.
Yeah,
that's a real unique take that I've got there. Ugh.
Like you had different views when you're still wielding the machete. You anyway. Are street justice, Dave.
You still with me?
There justice. You are. Justice is part of the nickname. God. Just because you're not Street Justice, you're just Justice Dave now.
Yeah,
and justice is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Oh, man. There's plenty of podcasts out there, folks. Mm-hmm. There really is. I appreciate people who listen, but, you know, if it sucks, then go somewhere else. We'll be fine without you. We will.
But we're in a good mood this time, Dave. We're having a fun time. I hear some of the jingle jangle ice cubes over there.
Oh yeah.
Look at Dave. What a little bitch. He's got a freezer now and he puts ice in his drinks.
Yeah, he said something about my comfy apartment. You sitting in your comfy apartment. Motherfucker, I used to shit in buckets. Go fuck yourself.
I love that you're high rolling and then the word apartment's in there.
Yeah.
Look at you, and you're just
in my 800 square feet of luxury.
Your arrogant attitude with your ground floor apartment, bars on the windows. Look, you Hollywood elite with your front door and your back door and running water most of the time.
I love that, though. And that started, I guess, about the time Trump came in office is when you started hearing cuck as an insult. But I just love how, like, anybody who has an opinion is a cuck. Ah, look at this cuck. Okay, yeah, I'll blindly follow Trump like the rest of his stupid-ass followers.
As a comedian, and it's like the Seinfeld thing where he's more offended that the guy converted to Judaism because the jokes aren't good.
For the jokes.
Yeah. I'm just insulted that the lack of originality, which is just prevalent in their ideas about society as well.
Yeah.
And it's reflected in the comedy. Same goes for calling any woman that's mad about anything Karen now. That is a hack bit.
Yeah.
You know? Get a load of this kid. Like, you could just say that about anybody now. And it's like, all right, man, you're giving me a 10-second snippet of a woman being mad somewhere and calling her Karen. And now it's like, no, I will not respond to any video until I get context. Like, it's not. And again, The Social Dilemma talks about, like, here's a clip. Inform your opinion about that. God forbid there's a whole story leading up to why that clip happened or why those people were interacting in a way. Let's form your opinions about these snippets and just, oh man, just Facebook hearsay is the prevailing news source of so many people. But hey, man, anyway, isn't there a Bigfoot we got to find or something?
Well, speak of the devil, there is.
Speak of the D. S of the D.
Dude. Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked about cryptids. We haven't had a cryptid in a while, and this one's been on my list for some time that I never really got around to, but I thought today we'd talk briefly about the Ohio Grassman. You familiar with the Ohio Grassman?
Not until you sent me a link about it 45 minutes ago.
Ohio Grassman, basically just another form of a Sasquatch, of a Bigfoot, tall, bipedal hominid that stalks the woods of Ohio, hence the name Ohio Grassman. Very similar to Bigfoot, it seems, apparently by some of these accounts, much more aggressive than most of your run-of-the-mill Sasquatch.
Not just growing up
aren't
in Ohio.
This aggressive. And, let me get to my notes here. Pretty interesting. Of course, regionally, you know, we've got the Sasquatch. We've got the Florida skunk ape. Got all kinds of different, and across the globe, you know, you got the Yowie, you got the Yeti, you got the Almaste, but, in Ohio, they call him the Ohio Grassman. Height ranges between 5 and 10 feet tall, usually averaging around 6.5, 7 feet. Footprints, as big as 20 inches long. That's a big boy.
Ooh.
Weight, some of these estimates, whenever you're talking about Bigfoot are like anywhere between 300 and 1,000 pounds. Well, this weight or three times that weight. We're not sure.
Using a real wide brush to paint this Ohio grass, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And, got the name Grassman because, they found a lot of these, like basically Bigfoot nests, these like, nests made out of, grass and shrubs and twigs and stuff. So, they found a bunch of these, what's the word I'm looking for? Habitats. They found these habitats, that they think, is where this thing lives in these big nests made of grass and whatnot. But, yeah, a lot of encounters over the years. One of the more prominent ones happened in Minerva, Ohio, back in August of 78, when, the grandchildren of, Minerva residents, Evelyn and Howie Clayton, along with their friends, they ran inside screaming about a hairy monster they saw in a gravel pit outside. When the elderly couple went out to investigate, they saw what the kids were crying about. They saw this 300-pound hairy beast, long, dark, matted hair, sitting in a gravel pit, just like the kids had had reported. And the Claytons, they fled, but they left that night. It scared the hell out of them. But this family, they saw this thing several more times, apparently. These Claytons.
Where are we talking? We're talking Eastern Ohio towards Pennsylvania?
We are. We're talking about central Eastern Ohio, yes. And mainly, it's spotted. Where did my notes go? Sorry. What is the name of this place? Salt Fork State Park. Salt Fork State Park, kind of on the eastern end of the state, not extreme east, but about you know, north to south, somewhere in the middle, and east west.
But not towards Indiana, towards the, towards east. Pennsylvania. You got some hills.
Yeah, not far from the Allegheny River. But yeah, a lot of sightings around Salt Fork State Park. They think that's a good place, could be a good habitat for the Grassman because there's over 25,000 acres of water and land combined in that state park.
A lot of pill plenty of wild game.
Plenty of wild game, plenty of water.
Grassman go just not sit, far. Sit and drink a beer in a bar in West Virginia. Nobody knows for 45 minutes.
Absolutely. But yeah, man, and a lot of people have seen this thing. It's supposed to have longer hair than some of the other regional Sasquatches have been described as. Long matted hair, like I said, average around 6.5, 7 feet tall, and yeah, all the way back to Native American times before the settlers came. Yeah, a lot of people have been seeing this thing, and usually when you're looking for an area that a Sasquatch or a Grassman could live. You're looking for an area that is secluded, and this forest, this state park forest, is very secluded. There's a lot of caves in that state park. They think that they're using some of these caves for shelter and room and board and lodging. And yeah, a lot of wildlife in Ohio. That's important. You know, Ohio. Some people don't realize, you know, how much wildlife is. A lot of hunting. Mm-hmm. In Ohio. And yeah, man, the behavior reported to be very aggressive and very smelly. And most of these things, people report a strong odor. Yeah, unlike humans, some say it walks like a robot. It's got a real like mechanical gait. And yeah, man, this is a fascinating creature. I sent you a video.
I'm watching it.
Yeah, you watching it right now? I'm trying to. This is somewhat recent. I believe this video is from February of this year, and it's about 10 minutes long. And it's not bad. The video's not bad.
It's very clear. The only question.
The only question with this video is it a guy in a suit? The video itself is pretty clear. It's like I said, this video I believe was taken in February of this year. So there's, it's snowing. You can tell it's very cold. There's some snow falling, and they track whoever's filming this video. They track this thing for several minutes, and I can't tell if they're zoomed in or they really are that close. But I mean, at certain parts of the video, it looks like they're 50 feet away. Like, it's pretty close.
Well, the people, the YouTube account it came from says there are people that, like, they got permission to use a drone and some other stuff that they're messing around the woods, and that's when they found it. So this happened back in February.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're coming, and now there are other videos. Once again, as I would encourage.
Mm-hmm. I did notice there are other videos. They have one of those terrible parody videos that I hate so much. Like, Bigfoot caught on tape, and it's just a guy's foot with tape wrapped around it. They do have at least one parody video where they're like, "We found the grass man," and it's their buddy doing something. But that video itself looks fairly legit to me. Go ahead if you can. I gave you some timestamps there. And we'll I'll post this link on our website, on our Twitter. But go ahead, if you want to, skip ahead to about 7:50, and it lets out this pretty interesting howl. There's a pretty, like, it's, again, I'm not a, I mean, we talked about a couple years ago, we talked about the Sierra sounds, those audio recordings of Bigfoot chatter. So I, you know, I'm no expert on how they're supposed to sound, but that audio there doesn't really sound like a person trying to make that sound. It sounds fairly unique.
All right. Well, there's,
let me know when you hear that.
They got another video where they found a Bigfoot tooth, but then they're joking around because they found a bag of Jack Link's beef jerky in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and say, if you wanted to be taken seriously about your video, you wouldn't try and go viral with a bunch of bad comedy videos after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use that. I'm going to use their behavior afterwards as evidence that this is not real.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a sound on, but I could see that they're just being a, "Well, we found Jack Links because Bigfoot eats it in the commercial." Like,
I hate that shit.
But then they got one where they found a footprint of the grass man.
The glass. Did you call it glass man?
The old grass man. Is weed legal in Ohio? There's got to be somebody's got the name Ohio grass man copyright for. Yeah, these guys got a pretty perfect foot that they're gonna make a plastic. I'm gonna go bullshit on this one, Dave. You had me for a second.
Yeah.
The original video looked all right. But even without sound, looking at these other videos that these people put out, it sounds like they're trying to get a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're definitely hurting their cause. Anybody, any Bigfoot channel, anybody trying to do legit Bigfoot research, anybody putting out those stupid ass, I hate those so much, because you get excited, you see the video, you're like, "Oh, Bigfoot video," then it's like, all right, some asshole clearly hoaxing.
Anybody that's already got a YouTube channel set up, I doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's a job now. That's like a traveling salesman job. Is to get a YouTube channel and try and get viewers and just try to monetize and see if something goes. We see, you know, obviously we see with comedians, podcasting, everything, but anybody could do it. This one's called "We Do It Outdoors: Lawn Care, Hunting, Fishing, and Survival." So I think they whipped up some pretty cheap and easy publicity for their channel. And then they're back to reviewing mini chainsaws, which is more useful information than I could have used. I could have used that.
Yeah.
But
Ohio's had several weird folklore and cryptid legends. Back in 1955, a man was traveling through Loveland, Ohio, when he saw three mysterious creatures that basically resembled 4 foot tall bipedal frogs. And that one's called the Loveland Frogman, not to be confused with the Grassman. But this is something I looked up a while back. We're going to do a whole episode on the Loveland Frogman, but I just couldn't get enough. Wasn't enough info there.
Whoa, you couldn't get enough info? Fucking Johnny One YouTube video over here couldn't get enough info on the frog people?
No, that's not my only source today. I just wanted you to see it because the video itself is good as far as Bigfoot videos go. But I will say it. I mean, there's some good footage of it, but it does kind of look like a 6 foot tall guy in a costume.
I would want Bigfoot to walk with more purpose. And here he's just kind of meandering around.
Yeah.
He's bumping into trees and meandering. Shit. So he's supposed to be an expert.
That's what I thought.
Expert at deception, expert at disguise. Yeah. And here's this thing in bumping into oak trees because he can't find the eye holes in the mask.
That's exactly what I thought. It does seem like he's meandering and just kind of shuffling around with no purpose.
I'm going to thumbs down this one, Dave.
Okay.
I tried to give it a little more credence, given it's been a while since we tackled one of these subjects.
I understand.
I don't know where. If somebody out there wants to calculate anything that I might have believed in on this show, I want to know what my scorecard is. I forget which one it got me. Aliens always get me, but you know.
Yeah. Grassman's known to kill dogs. There's been a lot of remains. People find around that state park, they found remains of dead dogs, remains of deer. I mean, I like the idea. Whether that video is legit or not, the whole legend doesn't depend on the legitimacy of that one video. But I do like the fact that Ohio has tons of nature. There's a lot of unoccupied land just in that state park alone, 25,000 acres, a lot of water, a lot of rivers, a lot of wild game. I mean, especially the eastern part of the state, it definitely could be a habitat, could be a place that a Bigfoot could survive. Unlike some areas, like every now and then you'll hear, I don't have an example off the top of my head, but like, yeah, Canada, Alaska, Washington State, Oregon, those places definitely could house a Bigfoot. Ohio definitely could. But yeah, who knows? All the way back in the 1700s, Native Americans, they would call it the Wild One of the Woods. A lot of folklore amongst the Native Americans that they've seen this bipedal creature.
Maybe it's time we stop giving Native Americans so much credit for shit they thought they saw. And you know what?
Why is that?
They were smoking peyote like the rest of us out in the middle of nowhere and coming up with stories for sounds. I not to be disrespectful, but you know what? Maybe everybody's culture has a big old scoop of bullshit in it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as fucking, you know, leprechauns or angels or whatever else they want to make up with their culture. I think we're just so much more ready to believe Native Americans. It's like, oh, you know, we really fucked you guys over. Oh, what's that? Oh, it's the creature of the woods. Oh, sure. Like, can't say anything bad now because they got a raw deal. All those the skinwalker one creeped me out.
Oh, man.
But the rest of them, like, yeah, I don't skinwalker. Know, man. They got it. Those Native Americans got
crypto.
They got an answer for everything. How they get fucked over so bad by the white man.
Famed cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman has gone on record saying that the Ohio Grassman has more of a human-like appearance and are more human-looking and are shorter than the classic Bigfoot.
They're just some jerks.
That's creepy when you hear. I don't know if I've seen any photos. I've seen like artist renderings and stuff. But some of these bipedal hominids have a very human looking face, and there's a lot of reports and eyewitness accounts of how human the face looked. That, to me, that's super creepy. Like, it's one thing to see some people think, and myself included, like maybe Bigfoot is just a holdover, leftover from Gigantopithecus. Basically, you know, a 10
White's
foot
cousins.
But it's one thing to think about it looking like a gorilla, or, you know, some sort of gorilla. But it's when they start talking about like human face and human like features, to me, that's incredibly intriguing to think about a big, hairy, bipedal person, a bipedal creature that's clearly not human, clearly too tall and big and hairy, but has a very human like face. That's creepy as hell.
I saw something online and it was pretty off putting. It was, I don't know which rural area it was, if it was like West Virginia or something, and it was a social worker taped going to some house where just a family that's just pretty much cut off, like just Appalachian, you know, hill people, inbred. And one dude could only communicate by barking like a dog.
Oh, no.
And kind of move the same way. What about that?
That video you're referring to, was it black and white?
No, it was like not.
Okay.
It was like a more recent. Let's see if I can find it. It was a more recent video.
Because I did see some. There's some web series. I forgot the name of it. And they even put a big disclaimer of like, hey, we're not trying to make fun or exploit these people, but it had to do with inbreeding.
They went and interviewed
some families that were inbred.
No, this was a real like people, like a social worker was there, and it was they were just living in filth, and just the one guy was just like burr, 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 burr. And I was like, well, that's how he communicated, with sounds like that. And I could see that. I could see that being somebody who, you know, killed a deer and was wearing the deer pelt and lived in the woods by themselves and became something like this. I wish I did not put this in my Google search to look for it, because now that's something. But I wish I could figure out where I saw it, but it was like documentary footage of just these pigeons, inbred hillbilly family. And it was the guy, the one guy was barking, the other guy was kind of like comatose walking around. And they're like, they were genetically human beings, but mentally so undeveloped that I would say that that is a possibility. If you think somebody was out there just running around all fucked up looking in the woods, I will put a human being in the running for that.
Or like, if you remember years ago, we did the Haunted Savannah episode, and Renee Rondelier, the 7'4" mentally challenged dude who also had that disorder where he had hair all over his face, like the Mexican wolf boy. Imagine, boy, somebody saw that bastard in the woods. They wouldn't think human. They'd be like, oh, I saw Bigfoot. He's the one that that killed all the local pets, and then he eventually wound up killing a small child.
Yeah,
and
that dude.
The whole city, they lynched him. Yeah, well, Renee Rondelier.
Like Frankenstein's monster, but you made it from fucking your family instead of sewing bits and pieces together.
We had a kid in high school that was inbred. Yeah.
No. What? This 4 years of this show, you're springing this one on me now?
Yeah.
What's the?
Yeah, and we believed him. It was
he was telling people
rough. Yeah. He said one time, like, I'm not going to do his voice.
Okay.
But he mentioned something about mom and dad or brother and sister or something like that. And he was clearly affected by some sort of gene deficiency. So that's a bummer.
I only had a couple of cousin humpers in my town, but that's about it. Oh, man. What? This is what I looked up now to try and find that video. Now I'm reading things that are bumming me out even more. Oof.
Speaking of stupid people, recent report says 7% of Americans think chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Oh, boy.
Are they children?
Nope.
Did they interview children?
1,000 adults. In April, the Innovation Center of U.S. Dairy interviewed 1,000 adults, 7%. 7% of 1,000, that's 70 people, said that, yeah, chocolate milk comes from brown cows.
Where's this stuff? Tell me this. No. No, I don't want it. These are voting. These are people that vote.
Well, yeah, that don't matter. You telling me some of those Trump supporters don't think the chocolate milk comes from brown cows?
Well, they wouldn't drink chocolate milk because it's brown.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to get mad about that stuff anymore, man. What good is it doing?
Yeah.
What good is it doing? You either agree with somebody and you're both pissed off about the same thing, or you disagree with somebody and then you're pissed off directly at another individual. It ain't moving the needle.
No.
We're not getting forward.
No,
on the track.
At this point, yeah, you're not going to convince. I will say this real quick, and again, I try not to talk too much about this shit, but the whole thing with Trump and the troops and John McCain's a loser and the thing he went over to some battlefield and all these, I'm not going to salute these dead. If that doesn't bother you, Trump supporters, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But please do us all a favor and shut the ever living fuck up about Colin Kaepernick or any athlete who wants to kneel for the national anthem. If him calling John McCain a loser doesn't bother you, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up about people kneeling for the national anthem. That's all I'll say about that.
You're getting mad about the
goddamn
distractions.
Hypocrisy. Oh, fuck.
Once the poor people realize it's the poor people versus the rich people, that's the good bet.
Shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs fans who Thursday night booed the players who were just taking a moment of silence to commemorate the recent injustice. Not even kneeling for the national anthem. They just locked arms, took a moment of silence for everything that's been going on in this country. Boo! Real classy Kansas City Chiefs fans. Well, Jesus Christ.
Why are we looking at sports fans for good character?
I like, too, that people complain that, like, leave politics out of the sports while we stand and pledge allegiance to the flag. Yeah. Like, that's...
Leave politics out of sports. Get ready for this military flyover.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. Oh, I lost you.
Let me see, Dave.
That wasn't me that time. I didn't even touch my phone, Kyle.
We're going to get back. It's going to be beautiful. There it is. There he is.
I'm going to blame that one on you. I literally didn't touch my earbuds or my phone.
You got mad and you hung up. You're getting mad. You got riled and you hung up.
All right, switching gears. Good
vibes. You making any good food? You eating any good food? What you doing?
I got a recipe. Yes, I did. I texted you about this one because I was so excited in the moment. Dude, I made, again, I'm not saying I invented a dish. I'm sure somebody has done this before. But I made barbecue chicken fried rice.
Explain to me.
And I'm not talking about. You ever had cornflakes?
You ever put milk in the cereal?
Now, I know some Chinese restaurants will talk about their barbecue spare ribs or the barbecue pork fried rice. Nice try. That's never barbecue. It's never smoked meat. I'm talking about taking some chicken thighs, throwing them on the smoker, smoking those bastards for a few hours over hickory wood, deboning them, adding them to some rice, some chopped onions, some carrots, some garlic, some red bell pepper, and then to bring it all home, I made, did I tell you about my peach barbecue sauce? Oh boy, did I talk about that last week?
You might have mentioned, I remember you talking about that a ways back.
It's a recipe inspired by my buddy Craig Holzer, the barbecue king of Atlanta, but it's not his exact recipe. I basically just took my regular barbecue sauce recipe and I added some pureed canned peaches. And oh boy, so I made this peach barbecue sauce. That's sexy. I incorporated that into the fried rice. So chopped up smoked chicken thighs, peach barbecue sauce, rice, onions, carrots, garlic, bell pepper. Oh boy, real good. It's very excited about that one. Smoked chicken fried rice.
What about when you get pork fried rice and the pork has like it's like red on the outside? Look, you could tell they did it right.
I know what you're talking about, and that's a technique that is often used in Chinese food. I don't think that is smoked meat. I really don't. No. They do something.
It's like some red. There's like a red outside. It gives way. Mm-hmm. Like you can see the color in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I sincerely don't think that is actually smoked. I'm talking about – now, one thing, too, that made me think of this, too, is doing that with pulled pork. Like, oh, boy, I got to try that next time I make some pulled pork. But just pork, chicken, whatever, but, like, actually smoked meat, actual legit American-style barbecue added to – traditional ingredients of fried rice. Oh boy,
that seems like it would make that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
That got me real excited, Cal. I was real jazzed up about that. I didn't take any pictures of it because it's not photogenic. At the end of the day, it's still just fried rice.
I love fried rice,
but oh man,
dude, I love rice. Chives, peas, carrots, corn. Anything. What are you doing there?
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot. It was kind of a spur of the moment thing. If I were to do it again, I would definitely have some scallions or some chives.
Little Captain
maybe
Crunch,
maybe some water chestnuts, little Captain Crunch in there.
Couple of,
but yeah, some
couple of hex screws, some Captain Crunch. You know, the real mishmash, real hodgepodge.
I love any type of rice dish, man. Rice and sauce, oh boy. But yeah, it's good times. Smoked chicken, fried rice. Got a couple birthday shout outs this week. Want to say happy birthday to Matt DeWeese. Had a birthday on September 10th. Birthday shout out to Chris Arnold coming up on the 15th. And a happy anniversary shout out to Dusty and Alexandra Weber. Recently celebrated an anniversary. So shout out to them. We got a comic of the week this week.
Do we?
Our mutual friend. Yeah, mutual pal who has appeared on the Boogie Monster. Toronto's own Mike Carrozza.
Mike.
Got a new album out called Cherubic. Came out last week.
Mikey Carrozza.
Listeners might remember Mike's appearance on the Live from Pittsburgh episode that we did about a year and a half ago. Mike, just a bundle of joy, just a adult baby, just a big old baby in a good way.
Antidote. Antidote. You want to all the shit out there right now.
Yeah. You want to pinch his cheeks. He's just a lovable, sweet fella. Super funny. Mike Carrozza. If you're looking it up, it's Carrozza. Mike Carrozza, Cherubic is the name of the
album. Last comic I worked with in Toronto before everything got shut down. I was doing shows with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about that? That's weird to think about, like, the last time I was on stage.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, man, I got to get back to doing some jokes. I don't have an outlet, man. I'm just sitting here stewing in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. That's what happens. You turn into a cuck. You got no outlet. You're just a liberal cuck, Kyle.
I know. I'm sick of being a liberal cuck. God, what?
A couple weeks late on this, though. A couple weeks ago, for Labor Day. I know Labor Day's come and gone, but I forgot to mention this recently. Stoneberg's podcast I do with me and my wonderful fiance Katie Strandberg. If you go back and listen to episode 22, you will find my complete, thorough job history. From A to Z, from the time I was 13 till present day, I give a thorough rundown. It took about an hour of my complete job history. So if you're interested in that, check out episode 22 of the Stoneberg's podcast.
Are you trying to get a job?
What about
somebody
you?
Offers you something from experience?
No, somebody had asked. You know, I've talked about it a lot on this podcast about, you know, the different jobs I've had, but I've never really laid it all out together. And boy, it's a pretty high number. I can't believe I'm this well traveled and well versed and still so unskilled. But oh well.
Yeah, but you got to try shit, man. That means you tried shit in life. Mm-hmm. I see somebody. Oh, yeah. What happens? Well, I graduated and I got this one job and I kept that job for the rest of my life. Way to go. Who's the cuck?
What about you? What about Yeah Girl? Hey Girl. Well, hey, I don't know why I always call it Yeah Girl.
Hey Girl's happening on Fridays. Girl. Me and old Matt Bryan getting together. Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific over on the old Twitch. It's a live show. You can call in. You can hang out with us. Have a drink. It's we avoid any kind of political riffraff because I think by Friday night, now everybody's done hearing about that shit from the news.
Yeah.
So.
What about the thing you did with Shane? Is that going to be a regular thing or is that just a one-off?
We're working on it. I am, because I'm so in the middle of moving and my life is in a bit of an upheaval right now. But when it's not, we get to sit and focus on that. So that will be coming around eventually. Stay tuned for that. But right now, everything's kind of waiting until I can just be in a place that will be my home for a little while. Trying to get to that point.
I hear you.
So, but yeah, buddy.
Well, good times, man. Good catching up.
We'll come down.
Sorry,
to Long
everybody,
Beach.
About last week.
Yeah, we'll go to a cuck gun store, Cucked and Loaded. We'll go to a gun store called Cucked and Loaded for a liberal gun store called Cucked and Loaded. God. Come on.
Oh boy.
Yeah, hey, if you got any criticisms or mean things to say to us, think about what you want to say. Write it down. Instead of just doing an email, because then you might regret it, write it down. And if you're still sure about those words that you wrote on a piece of paper, crumple it up and shove it up your ass. That's a nicer way to process your feelings.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, man. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, buddy.
Rock and roll.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.